My name's Don Elwell from Gladstone, Oregon. I'm especially thankful that God is not a respecter of persons. And my ask is that you be like God. We endeavor to share a burden from the Lord. I'll write a little something here on the board, and while I'm doing that, you have time to pray. It is my hope, my prayer, by the help of the Lord this afternoon, that we could consider this challenge of living above offenses. And I'm not talking about the ones you cause. I hate to break it to you, but it's inevitable. You're going to do it. I'm going to do it. Many times they're unintentional. A lot of times, we're too tired, too hungry, too overcharged with the cares of life, too busy, so we don't have the grace of the Lord, and we misspeak, we misact, and it'll cause an offense to others. But I want to consider this thought this afternoon that offenses are going to come your way. You will be offended. Job said, man that is born of a woman is but few days and full of trouble. But you realize there's victory for that, right? By the help of the Lord, we can live above the effects of offense. My heart is extremely heavy. When I think about the many people that the Lord has given me compassion for, that have either been in the process or have already made some decision to go a different way. And more often than not, it's because of one offense or another. And I'm here to tell all of us today, tell myself, those that are listening to the recording or online, that by Jesus' help, it is possible to live above the effects of those offenses, that they don't sidetrack our relationship and our spiritual growth in God. It is possible for things to happen. They're going to happen. Jesus said it was inevitable that if we lived in this world, that there would be tribulation. He said that there would be offenses that would come, but woe unto whom that brought that offense. And so we recognize this morning, this afternoon rather, that offenses are going to come. We're going to live. We've been sitting in such a beautiful meeting. It's more than just the pandemic has kept us closed up and we're finally able to get out a little bit and be around some people. It's far greater than that. The Spirit of the Lord has been here. Each and every service, the Spirit of the Lord has been here to bless and anoint the Word. It's been so rich to our souls. We've heard so much about how much God loves us. But you know, Jesus said, freely you've received. There's another part to it, isn't there? You got to freely give. And when it comes to offenses, many times we get caught up in the spirit of idolatry. I know you're, what does he mean there? It's the idol of self. Selfishness is an idol in and of it to itself. Just like the many other things that are out there in the world, there is an idol of myself that I evaluate my well-being and what I think I deserve and how I think I should be treated and all these other different kinds of thoughts about me. And so it is that when something comes across that, whether intentional or unintentional, whether it was directly to me, or maybe I heard that something else happened way over here to that person and now I take offense to it. You know, in the Greek, the word offense has multiple definitions, and one of them is trap stick. I'm not much of an artist, so I'm not going to draw it on the board. I'm going to rely upon your own imagination. But you imagine a box, wooden box crate, standing up, leaning like this, and there's a stick holding it and a string attached to it. That's the trap stick, that stick that's hanging there. And the idea is that there's something in there for whatever you're trying to catch. There's something in the box that it wants, so that when it comes, we pull the trap stick, the string pulls, stick falls, trap is set, you're stuck. And I would to God that we would be awakened to how the devil is working. This is one of the greatest areas in which the devil intends to work amongst the people of God. Jesus said, and a man's foe would be they of his own household. We call each other brethren, don't we? We're of the same household of faith. And there is within the world today, it seems everywhere you turn, somebody's offended about something, isn't it? You ever, I don't know, I live in the Pacific Northwest, and it seems like we have a few more than our share. I call them paper dolls, because the first blow of wind and they just wilt away. You say this and they're offended. You say that and they're offended. You say nothing and they're offended at that. And there's nowhere to win. And sometimes we can get caught in this spirit of offense and just have to try and walk on eggshells and feel like we can't stand for truth. We can't stand for the things of God. We can't be who we are and live life and extend love. And somehow we're going to be accused of doing something wrong. I want to encourage you, when your motives are pure, you got nothing to worry about. When you're led of the Spirit of God, you've got nothing to be ashamed of. And I want to say for those that maybe find themselves struggling with that spirit of offense and looking for reasons, looking for reasons to be offended. I tell people at work, tell young folks that I teach, tell them at home, you'll always find what you're looking for. These aren't lost keys somewhere in the house. When it comes to offense, you will always find what you're looking for. If you enter into a situation, you can come to such a wonderful, holy gathering such as this at a Monarch meeting, and you can come here and you can find whatever problem you want to find. If you put it on your mind, I know it exists, and you can come here, and I promise you, you'll find it. The devil will make sure of it. But I want to tell you, the same power to look for something that's wrong, you can use to look for what is right. You ever notice how when we talk to people and we see that they're in dismay, we always look at them and say, what's wrong? You ever thought of asking them, what's right? It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of looking at things. I believe this is what the writer meant in the 4th chapter of Philippians when he said, whatsoever things are pure, honest, good report, there be any virtue, think on these things. It doesn't mean we're oblivious to when things aren't right and things are, maybe there's something a little bit out of sorts. But it means that my mind and my heart is focused on those things that would edify me, that would cause me to grow. It's so important that we realize the connection between our spirituality and the things that we perceive in our minds. We're the gatekeeper. The devil does not have access to your heart unless you grant it. He does have access, however, to your mind. Jesus, in all points, like as we are, was tempted. Yet he was without sin. When we think about the offenses, Jesus said they would come, that we would have them. There would be situations, things are going to happen. And I promise you today, my hope and my encouragement to you is that you do be offended before the day is over. Because that offense is a blessing from God. That offense is a chance to see where you really are and what you really have on hand. There is a scripture of instruction I would like to give to us. And by the help of the Lord, we want to consider what it is to live above offense, to live above the darts that are hurled at us. In the 12th chapter of Romans, I want to get a very familiar scripture, the 18th verse. I want you to notice that it starts out if. That means it's conditional. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I want us to understand that the burden and the challenge this afternoon is not just for our conduct amongst the brethren. It's not just for the conduct within our home. It's not just for the conduct within our extended families. It's for our conduct everywhere we go. Whether we're around saved and sanctified people or whether we're around sinners. If it be possible. So it is, and that tells me that it's possible that I could choose not to. Or that, as the scripture says, as much as lieth within you. It is possible that I could get to a place and find myself in a situation where I get caught and I'm found wanting. I see the lack. And what the spirit of offense will do, and the spirit that is running wild in our country today and in the world at large, where everybody wants to run around, everybody's got a cause. Everybody's got a reason to have some hurt feelings. Everybody's got a reason that they're upset because this is done that way and we don't like it, and so we're hurt, we're put out, we're ostracized, and we got all these different kinds of feelings, and we're somehow justified in it. God is not pleased with it. Jesus Christ didn't die for that limited of an experience. The song we sing, Jesus paid it all. Do we believe that when we're offended? Now, I realize this is a challenge. This gets to where we're all living. We all have different areas in which they're near and dear to our heart. Uncle Chuck used to say, you ever notice how some folks are really strong in one area and don't talk so much about another? We all have those areas in which we're really strong and we get indignant when there is something said or done to and about that, and we feel a certain kind of way. This is when it's time to look within. This is when it's time to say, Lord, like David, search me. Search my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because the instruction here to us for the day and time in which we live is that if it be possible, as much as lieth within us, that we'd live peaceably, we'd be in harmony with all folks. Now, that doesn't mean we condone. Understand that there are things that are offensive because they are offensive to the ways of God, to the truth and the standards of holiness and righteousness and purity and the things that are right. And I'm not saying we have to look past all those things. We stand for truth. But when it comes to our own personal likes and dislikes and the way that people interact with us, because we're in this world, but we're not to be of it, right? The spirit of offense and the spirit that's prevalent in our world, people are running around being hurt and being offended and copying attitudes and acting certain kinds of ways. The Lord is calling for something better. He said, as much as lieth within you, that we would live peaceably with all men, that it would to God that we would recognize this afternoon that when the offense come, that that's a trap. Don't kick the stick. Don't wonder what the string is and pull it. Don't worry about what's inside. And I'm going to say it this way. Sometimes you hear things. If it's not about you, forget it. Let it go. Don't open it, the door, so to speak, and stick your head underneath the crate and lend your ear to what's going on. Shut it down. As much as lies within you, shut it down. You know, in the Old Testament, they had a word for slander, Lashon Hara. And that, without going into a whole lot of detail, essentially what was going on, there was an expectation amongst the Hebrew people that you weren't to say things about other folks. And if you were to share something with somebody else, they were obligated to stop you. That was the expectation of God's people. I want us to understand this afternoon, as much as we enjoy God's love, we enjoy His blessings, we enjoy His Spirit and the fullness of it and just the presence of the Lord, we can do so much harm if we allow ourselves to imbibe in the spirit of offense and the things that go on that would offend. And well, that really bothers me. Tell me a little more about it. There's something within our human nature that just does that. It's just like when you're driving down the road and there's an accident. You know you shouldn't look, but everybody slows down. And they rubberneck. We know that's our humanity. So how do we get above that? We have to go to the source. Our source of power is the Lord Jesus Christ. We go to Him. We spend time in prayer. We spend time seeking the Lord. That we spend time being honest with the Lord and telling Him, Lord, this hurt me. I realize we're not going to live in a bubble. We're not meant to go join some compound and hide out somewhere and have all things in common and everybody's just going to speak and act and talk real nice and we're always going to get along. That's not what the Lord intended for His people. He said we were to go out into all the world. And what was His promise? Please say that again.
Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world.
That's it. The Lord is with us. And this is what we have to recognize when it comes to living above offense, when it comes to me as an individual. I'm going to be hurt. I have feelings. I'm a human being. The Lord made me that way. But I'm not going to allow to hinder the relationship that you and I have. I'm not going to allow it to hinder my place in the body. I'm not going to allow some kind of situation to happen and create a schism between me and that individual or those group of individuals. I refuse to allow that to happen. Why? Because He walks with me until the end of the earth. This is the same Christ who, when He was being crucified and He looked out at the people that were telling Him, well, if you said you could save everybody, save yourself. There you are hanging. Prove it. If you're really the Son of God, do it. If ever there was something that was so offensive, so attacking of your personal individuality, surely it was that. And the Lord's response was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, one would try maybe to argue that that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. Of course He had the power to do that. How are you going to explain away Stephen? It goes right in line with Ephesians 5 and 1. It says, brethren, as beloved children, walk in the footsteps of Jesus. So the commandment, so the inspiration, so the challenge is for us this afternoon to hide deep in our hearts the reality of what is possible. You're going to be hurt. People are going to say things. Church folks will say and do things that will hurt you. Sometimes they have the greatest of intention. And it'll do the greatest damage. And I wish I could take that hurt from you. And I know I'm not the only person around here that feels that exact same way. They would love to take it from you as well. But I'm going to tell you, do not let that spirit thrive in your life. We read in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it's also in the ideas in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. And it talks about the helmet of salvation. The devil doesn't have access to your heart. But he does have access to your mind. He has the ability to present thoughts. And I want you to realize this afternoon that we have a defense already provided for us. This is not anything you do of yourself. The armor of God, you go read about all that. It's nothing that you go and earn. You enlist in the army, you're issued standard equipment. And it'll do and keep you safe and cause you to be able to do whatever it is your commander calls you to do. And one of those things is a helmet of salvation. It protects our head and our mind. And I want to encourage us this afternoon to have some tools to work against the offenses that are inevitable. Yes. It's inevitable. Yes. And so what I want us to realize this afternoon, that God has not left us without tool. He's not left us without ability. He says, as much as lieth within you, We put on that helmet of salvation. If we're going to be able to deal with offenses and to be able to deal with them as Jesus did, we have to be saved. We have to have that helmet of salvation placed upon us. And in that helmet of salvation, there are some things that we need to remind ourselves of. Number one, you're forgiven. You're no longer who you used to be. I'm glad most of you didn't know me as a kid. I wasn't a very good one. I was a fighter. Fighter's nature. You cross me and I cross you three times as hard. You know, in that salvation, that spirit is gone. It's gone. This is not just empty words, but I can tell you because of what God has done in my heart, I can stand here before you this afternoon and tell you there's not a single thing you can do that's going to cause me to draw back from you. And it's not because of me. It's because of Him. It's because of the source. There is a place in Jesus Christ. There is a place in that helmet of salvation that He's willing to give us. You remember Brother Tony talked the other night about the ponies? The little stick pony versus the real pony? This is one of those things, something better. Human nature, the carnal mind will tell you, you got a right to be feeling the way that you do. You got a right to feel all these different emotions. And you know, it's very easy to find other folks in the church, in the congregation, in the fellowship, in your family, friends, wherever. You can find folks that will be sympathetic. But I want to encourage you to not do that. If you want to be able to live above offense, there's a secret place. There is a special place of blessing when we go to the Lord. And we give it to Him, and we get in our prayer closet, and we're honest with Him. Lord, that hurt. That didn't feel good. That made me angry. That made me sad. That made me, whatever it is, that we'd be blatantly honest with the Lord. Lord, this is where I'm at. This is how I'm feeling. I need something. Lord, You hung on that cross, and You touched the throne of God and accessed a power that allowed You to say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we know those weren't empty words, that You truly meant it. We know that Stephen was able to look at it and say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Take me to that place and let me drink. Because it is possible for us. You know, there's times where things are really, really tough. John, the 16th chapter, in the 33rd verse, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. And that word tribulation, besides distress and peril, means straits. And in terms of water, a strait is a narrow place. And the Lord woke me up with a vision this morning about our love being like that body of water. And when you have a strait, so to speak, meaning there's not maybe a ton of love between you and another individual. And when I say ton of love, I mean more experience. Maybe you don't know them. You're not as familiar. There's a love. If they said, hey, I need prayer, we would do that. But maybe there's a subconscious limit. Maybe I'm leery of them because of something someone said about them, or a behavior that I saw them exhibit, or they did something that caused me not to trust. And so there's a strait. And the way the Lord brought it to my mind was just like a puddle of water. And you take a big boulder, maybe both hands, and you drop it in there. And that water is going to splash. I don't know how much of it leaves, maybe half, maybe a third, maybe 80% of it. I don't know. But a lot of that water leaves and that stone is left sitting there. And every time you walk by that puddle, all you see is that stone. It is the predominant feature of that situation. And that's exactly how the enemy of the Lord would have to work with that spirit of offense. That every time you hear that name, every time you see that person, every time you hear of that circumstance, all of a sudden, all the water's gone and all it's sitting there is just big, ugly, nasty boulder. But you know, in a big, wide, and deep river, that same boulder can be cast and there's a big kaposh. Some water splashes, there's some ripples, there's some feelings, there's some effect. But that river swallows it up. Anybody else walking by doesn't see it. Anybody else, you walking by, swimming, you don't see it, you don't feel it. And you know what happens when it's down there and plunged and that water is able to work on it? If you ever been in the bottom of a river, you ever notice those stones are much different? They're smooth, aren't they? They're not so rough. They're not such hard, jagged places in life. And the love of the Lord that He gives us allows us to be able to do. There's some things that might just take some time. There's some things that we're just going to have to bury. And so it is that, I hope to God before the end of the day you're offended. I really do. I hope by the end of the day I'm offended, because it's going to reveal what's in me. It's going to allow me to see where I'm at. It's going to allow me to have a test of the depth of the love that I have for that situation, for that circumstance, for that person. And if I find myself wanting, I'm still on this side of eternity. I still have opportunity to seek the Lord, to get the help that I stand in need of. Does it mean that they were right? Absolutely not. Does it mean that they were justified in doing it? No. But I want to tell you this. Before you tell anybody else, go tell Jesus. Somebody else isn't going to be able to take away your pain. Somebody else isn't going to be able to touch you in your heart. They can appeal to your intellect. They might even be able to tickle your emotions a little bit. But they're not going to be able to touch your heart. They're not going to be able to give you the grace that is sufficient for your need. That same grace that when Paul sought the Lord three times and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Can I give you a practical way in which this looks? I never knew the man, but his name was Brother Trimble. Perhaps some folks in here knew him. He lived in California. My dad, not living for the Lord, almost 70 years old, will still speak reverently of Brother Trimble. Yeah, Brother Clifford Smith, Uncle Steve, Uncle Chuck, all talked reverently of Brother Trimble. And there are a lot of stories, but there's one in particular that sticks in my mind. And I don't know all the details, but I know that at a time he was teaching Sunday school. And there was a slight discrepancy in the way that he was teaching it, and with the pastor didn't agree with it. And so as a result, long story short, he was sat down. He was asked, "Please don't teach Sunday school anymore," and sit down. If ever there was an opportunity to be offended and be hurt, there it is. But I'm going to tell you this. The testimony of Brother Trimble, of those that saw it and speak reverently of him many years after his death, will tell you that each and every Sunday you'd find Brother Trimble sitting on the front bench, fully supportive of the ministry, praying regularly before, during, and after service. Amen. That's right, brother. That's right, sister. Right there, fully supportive. Spoke no ill of the one that asked him.
And the next Sunday, the Sunday school teacher that was there, he was on the front bench supporting the new teacher.
Supporting the new teacher. To that I say, Lord, grant me the same spirit you've given Brother Trimble. Help me to live and conduct my life in such a way that I can be just as you were, Lord. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to hurt one another from time to time. And the commitment of living above offense is that I'm not going to lay that to your charge. And I won't take the time to read it this afternoon, but I believe everyone in here is familiar with it. But in the 18th chapter of Matthew, the Lord explains how to handle your relationships, whether they're personal or they're just casual, they're work relationships or whatever else. The principle is still true, but it is written specifically for within the body. And it says, if a brother trespass against you, go tell him his fault. That word fault is where they've fallen short, where they've missed the mark, where they didn't quite perform maybe in the way which they were supposed to. You know, sometimes someone can say something. We live in a time where there's a lot of written communication, and there's such an opportunity for miscommunication. You can assume a certain tone of voice based upon the mood that you're in. But they wrote it. It's their fault. No, it usually has to do with the mood that you're in and the mindset that you have. That's why the writer said, as much as lieth within you. So step one is that we just take it to the Lord. When the offense comes, we take it to the Lord. There are some things that come that we can just simply, Lord, lay that not to their charge. We have enough grace on hand. We have enough love. It's not going to cause me to draw back. And this is the important thing that we recognize this afternoon. We can be good little saints, put on the face. Something happens, we hear something, whatever, and we're offended by it, and we just, that's okay. Hi, how are you? And not get real deep and go through the motion and do what we know is supposed to be the good little saint thing to do, and then go on our way. But in our heart, there's a distance. In our heart, there's not a trust. In our heart, that's like, I'm not going to call them for prayer. There's a better place to live above that. We live in a time, as the song says, all alone in this cold, dark land. Nothing encourages me to stand. This is what encourages us to stand. Our brethren. And you better believe that the enemy knows that. He recognizes the power of fellowship. He recognizes the power of assembling ourselves together. That's why the word says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. There is a power in getting together and having common experience and sharing testimony and tears and prayer requests and going through some things and sharing with one another. There is great value in it, far beyond what I think we even understand. And it's no wonder that the enemy wants to attack that. And I say fight. For our lives. Fight for your brethren's life. At all costs, do not allow yourself to fall victim to the spirit of offense where you get under that and you just become down in the mully grubs and you see everything through that hurt. There's a better way. Jesus has paid it all. He's promised that He would give us. The song says, never alone. He promised never to leave me alone. So it is that when offenses come, my first step, Lord, you know, some things that can come, they can cross us, and we already have enough on hand because we're so prayed up or whatever. We have enough on hand, we can just, whatever, water off a duck's back. Not a problem, whatever. That's just, that's where they struggle. That's okay. I love them enough, I'm going to pray for that. But then some things are a little bit greater. We're going to have to go into our prayer closet. We're going to have to get alone with the Lord. The temptation is to want to feel ill towards them. Even, why did they cause me this? But you know, there's another way to look at it. They just caused me to go spend time with the Lord. And isn't it good to spend time with the Lord? Even if we're not feeling great, it's still good to be in the presence of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? It's all a matter of how you're looking at it. You can find what you're looking for. If you want to see it as a bad thing that is doing me such harm, and why could they how could they possibly do that to me? I can see it through that lens. But in that helmet of salvation, I call it this. Those things are thinking errors. You're thinking the wrong way. Put on the helmet of salvation. Allow it to pass through the salvation. You know, sometimes when an offense happens, it bothers us so much because somehow we're not valued. Do you realize in that helmet of salvation is the idea and the concept that you are chosen by God? That He died for you? You have that much value? You're that important? It's in our salvation. We don't need to seek it from others. Yes, it's good. Lord made us to want to feel like we belong to something. And I'm not downplaying that. I believe it has its place and its role, but it can't be elevated above the sanction and the blessing of being belonging with God. And that's what that spirit will do. It'll try to get things out of order. And we want to have things in a right order. And what I'm trying to share with us this afternoon is that we understand and we have the right order that my self-worth comes from God. It doesn't come from what I can do. It doesn't come from what I think about myself. It doesn't come from what others think about me. All those things have their place. But my self-worth comes from the fact that God looked down, saw me, and deemed me worthy to die for. That's part of that new creation. That's what's in that helmet of salvation. That's what protects our mind from that spirit as it works. So we may have enough on hand. We may have to spend time in prayer. Then we get to the 18th chapter of Matthew, and it tells us if there's something that's a little bit deeper than what I can deal with on my own and what I can't just pray away, then I go to my brother. I go to my sister. I go to the one that committed the offense. Not the people that agree with me. Not anybody else that's associated with it. And I cannot stress this enough. This has been on my heart for so many years. I've seen it play out spiritually. I've seen it play out in a secular setting. God's principles work. When we deal one-on-one with the situation and we go back directly to the source and we give some feedback, it's as simple as saying, you know, brother, you said this. And this is how I took that. Is that what you meant? That's a whole lot different than coming to someone and saying, I can't believe you said that and you caused me to feel this way. One is very pleasant and inviting. Another is very accusatory and causes their defenses to go right up. We must recognize that when it comes to dealing in the body with the brethren, that inevitably things are going to happen. But that we come in a spirit of peace. We come with that love, deep and wide river, willing to cover that stone. And I speak to him. I said, brother, sister, this is what happened. What did you mean by that? You know, a lot of times you're going to find the message you received was not the one they were intending to send. When you're able to have that conversation one with another and nobody else is introduced into it, it doesn't give the spirit of the devil a chance to use the humiliation. Like, you know how many other people know about this? Because when we are faced with that, the devil wants to stroke our pride and cause us to stand up and justify ourselves. Well, you know what? You should have just taken it that way. It's your problem. You took it the wrong way. You're being too sensitive. And you can, pretty soon you can go tit for tat and nothing's accomplished. And now we got two people that are offended. The Lord has a better way. He has a way that we can live above those offenses. A lot of the things we can learn to just let go. And the reason being is because I love them enough. You know, I finally just started asking myself, and I've asked it to other people, and they just look at me like, well, no. Whatever it is that's been done to you, whoever has done it, if God came to you and said, hey, you want me to keep them out? I saw what they did to you. You want me to keep them out of heaven for what they did? Of course, we don't want that. We understand how bad hell really is. We wouldn't want that for anyone. Spending time alone with the Lord starts to open our mind and open our hearts to this realization to cause us to live on this kind of plane. And we start to see things from an eternal perspective rather than a carnal perspective. We start to see it from God's eyes rather than our own. And when the world looks on and sees this kind of love and they see this kind of stuff in action, they're amazed. How in the world did you do that? I saw the way you handled that. Wasn't that your testimony, brother? Someone at work come up, and you probably didn't even know they were paying attention, really. But they're like, how were you able to do that? Oh, there's a source. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, it talks about if they won't hear, go and talk to them. You might win your brother. You know, when I was a young kid and I wasn't saved, and I would get in fights at school. And a lot of times, We'd be sitting there in the chair waiting for the principal. After they got us separated and we had time to calm down, we were a little bit clearer, and pretty soon, a lot of times before the principal even got there, we were actually shaking hands and friends. And we recognized that we had some similarities. We had some commonality. We were both probably just angry about something else and took it out on each other. You know, that's why the Lord put that instruction in the book of Matthew. That after we've spent time praying through it and we get to a right place and we go and talk to our brethren, and we say, can I just talk to you for a minute about something? I'm really struggling here. Something was said, something was done, and it's making it a little bit difficult for me. I have full confidence that every single one of us in here, that if somebody came up to you and said, hey, there was something that was done and it's causing me to struggle, it's going to melt your heart. You're going to be like, well, what is it? How can I help? What can I do? I did something. What did I do? I'm so sorry. What? And we'll make it right. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a tighter bond. We have the unfortunate consequence of being separated by a lot of distance. We don't always have constant communication with each other. And you know the enemy tries to use that. But we can live above it. The enemy brings these thoughts. And I'm going to call them what they are. Thinking errors. You know the people that have the resting mean face? And you just look over them across the tabernacle and it looks like they're scowling at you. And all of a sudden you're like, am I not measured up somewhere? And the enemy's right there. Oh, yeah, you know, this and that and that. And it just starts spinning yarn. That's right. And pretty soon you're way off somewhere thinking some crazy thoughts. Those are thinking errors. And we cast those down. That's part of that scripture in Corinthians that says casting down every vain imagination. God has given us all a heart of love for one another. Even though we may not be as familiar with each other, don't doubt the love. It's there. And when you seek opportunity to be around each other and have interaction, and even if it's, hey, I have a little issue with something, can I talk to you? You're going to find. Don't be afraid. The devil will tell you, oh, no, don't, you can't talk to them. All different kinds of reasons. Go and talk. Have the conversation in the spirit of unity, in the bond of perfect unity and love. And you're going to find you're going to gain a brother. And if the issue gets real serious, then you bring one or two with you. And if it goes beyond that, then it's taken to the church. The Lord has given distinct, clear guidelines to follow. And I've seen it work time and time and time again. So it is this afternoon that I want to encourage us to have that kind of testimony. In the old days, when they were rededicating the temple, they had the whole congregation there, and the leader got out and read the Word of God, and they all stood and said, we're committed to that. You know what I'd like to ask this afternoon? To give a visual representation. I'd like for you to search your own heart. Ask the Lord to search you. And if you're willing to join the Lord and to join me, join each other. To be committed to live above offense. To be able to look at your brother and say, there's nothing you can do that's going to cause me to draw back. I care too much for your soul. I care too much for our relationship. I care too much. The Lord died for this. Oh, I might hurt and it might take me some time. But I'm committed. Just like they did in the Old Testament. The preacher asked them to stand and voice their commitment. So we'll sing a song here in just a moment. And I want to ask you, if you want to make that commitment, stand and sing. Your standing is a clear testimony of your commitment to, Lord, I want to live above offense. I'm committed to my brethren. And I will not allow anything to come in between us. I'm committed to following your pattern to make sure it works when things arise. And if you can't stand, just raise your hand. I also want to ask those, all of us, to be honest. If you're not in that place, if you can't make that commitment, would you be willing to come down and get some power to do it? Would you be willing to trust the Lord to give that kind of blessing? You're going to find someone's willing to be there with you. Someone's committed. Perhaps we could have a number.